Well, friends, we're almost on the other side of it. It's almost over. Well, not really over, but we are in a much different place now than where we were before. And you might be wondering, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the disorienting experience around COVID as a global crisis. This week, the World Health Organization declared that COVID is no longer a global health emergency. And in the United States, that declaration would expire on May 11th. And by now, many of you have read a message that Dean Thomason sent earlier this week about our own transition here at the cathedral around COVID precautions. And when I say that it's over, it's really more tongue-in-cheek. I know that there are changes. And now I'm also mindful that COVID has brought a heavy toll of death and suffering to many. I recall those early days of disorientation. They became even more unsettling with the killing of George Floyd. And without relieving all the trauma, I'm pretty sure you would agree that those were gruesome times. We coped with endless streaming of TVs and movies. And while we sheltered in place, we tried to figure out new technologies that would allow us to connect with one another, to pray together, and to care for others. And during that time, it was not uncommon for us to imagine a different world on the other side of it. In my mind, we were living in a cocoon, and my hope was there was a beautiful butterfly on the other side of it. Many of us kept saying this phrase, "We cannot return to how things were." You might have heard others, but there were similar phrases. We cannot return to how things were. And there were many conversations during those days. Conversations and dreams about a new way of life. Many of us spoke about a more sustainable life, stepping out of the rat race, of making room for more creativity. We spoke of loving more deeply and being more caring and kinder with ourselves and with others. We kept saying we cannot return to how things were. And yet, here we are. And many things in our surroundings seem to have quickly returned to how things were before. Vulture capitalism, gun violence, white supremacy, collective self-interest, apathy, and neglect for the vulnerable. Have we lost that momentum for creativity? Have we lost that impetus for hope? Have we lost the drive for a new way? It's easy to let our hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled, Jesus told the disciples, and Jesus continues to say to us, don't let your heart be troubled. If we believe the one who says these words, then we know that they're not empty platitudes and hollow promises. When we believe the one who says these words, then these words can be anchors for our soul. They can give us a foundation in which we continue to seek to rebuild and to reshape a world based on love and justice. Jesus told the disciples, and Jesus continued to tell us, In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. There are many dwelling places. This God who comes to us by many names, the Creator's house, is not necessarily a physical structure. I recall being raised and people said there will be a mansion for you in heaven, and I don't want a mansion. It's like, seems like a lot of work. In a way, it's built so I can have a mansion, but somebody else is going to be continue to work hard to keep that mansion in shape or clean or beautiful. It's not about a place, but it's about God's spacious being. There are many dwelling places. Speak of God's generous and ever-expanding love. A place as a relationship where all are welcome, when there is enough room for everyone to flourish and to live life abundantly. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. It's an extravagant vision of God's hospitality that breaks down the walls of inclusion and division. Activist and writer Naomi Klein, she coined the concept or the term of disaster capitalism. Disaster capitalism is just a way of how opportunistic systems of structure oppression seek to use a moment of frailty or crisis to gain profit, to divide and to build walls. During COVID and during that unsettling times a few years ago, we could see that there was perhaps a possibility of us coming together as people, of working together, of building something beautiful. And yet, now we see that there is this structures of division that continues to grow. This phrase of Jesus, "In my Father's house there are many places," work against those division and those walls that separate us, to be attentive. We cannot return to how things were. We have seen the deep inequalities and systemic injustice that were exacerbated during that time. We witnessed the disproportionate impact on marginalized communities. We cannot go back to how things were. Jesus told his disciples, and Jesus continues to tell us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus presents the way for us to follow. In the way that Jesus lived and in the way that Jesus enacted, in Jesus' actions, we can track God's desire, God's dreams, and God's purposes for the world. In the way of Jesus, we're shown that God is not only concerned with the eternal salvation of our souls, but with the transformation of our earthly realities. Jesus is the way to liberation from all forms of bondage. Jesus is the truth that exposes the lies of injustice. Jesus is the light that inspires us to build a just world. Don't let your heart be troubled. And do not let your heart believe the lies that we are alone in this. That when we look out and it seems that the monstrous puppeteers of evil are more than those of us who are working toward love and justice. Don't let that become your truth or a story that you believe. Since 2019, there is a phrase that the people of Puerto Rico, where I'm from, have been chanting as a way to defy and protest against the systems of oppression. And the phrase is, somos más y no tenemos miedo. That means there's more of us and we're not afraid. There's more of us and we're not afraid. And it's easy for us to lose that sight. This is not a solitary journey. We're not alone in this mission. We're part of a larger community, united in our community commitment to love and to justice. And this does just include us, the Christian church. It includes people from different traditions, religious traditions, cultures, languages, accents, expressions. Many of us who continue to work in this world to bring about goodness. Somos más y no tenemos miedo. There are more of us and we're not afraid. Jesus told the disciples, and Jesus continues to tell us, very truly I tell you, that one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than this. There is a power and a fire in those words from Jesus that reveal what we can do in our collective action as followers of the way. There's these words of Jesus that we will do great works than these, that tell us that we can actively participate in God's liberating work, engaging in acts of justice that bring hope, healing, and transformation in our communities, just like Jesus did. Somos más y no tenemos miedo. There are more of us and we're not afraid. So, beloveds, as we move in kind of out, or as we begin to talk about moving out of this cloud of the pandemic times, perhaps we want to seek a sense of comfort and relief. That's good. But let's do it in a way that does not return us to the status quo. Together, empowered by the Spirit, we can follow Jesus' way. We can challenge the structures that perpetuate inequality and exclusion. And together, I believe we can cut the strings of the monstrous puppeteers of oppression. As we continue to navigate the uncertainties of our time, let us be mindful that our call to love and our call to justice is not optional. It is the very way. Love and justice is the very way and the very essence of our faith. Do not lose heart. Do not let your heart be troubled. There are more of us, and we're not afraid. Amen.